Well, I'm going to start off with a story about a memory of a place that I have that is gone now. It's left me some years ago. Does anyone recall the Captain D's restaurant in Newcastle? Oh, my. Okay, yeah, and some of us recall even more. Yeah, well, that's the way I have felt the whole time Captain D's was open. Jan and I would frequent that place quite a bit because they had an all-you-could-eat special of their fish and everything that went with it. So many times, even on Sunday mornings, this has been years and years ago, we would be done with church and we would head right to Captain D's for their all-you-could-eat fish. And boy, can I eat a lot of fish. Of course, you would order your meal, and they had three different kinds of fish, and I liked them all, the battered. They had a country style, and they had a Cajun style, which I found other Captain D's has the batter and the country, but I can't find any of them that have the Cajun. It's just like the country, but it's a little spicy seasoning to it. Well, we would go after church on Sunday for lunch, and you'd order your meal, and then they would bring it to you, and then you would wait for the tray to come around, big tray with all kinds of fish, the hush puppies, french fries, coleslaw, whatever you wanted more of, and I wanted more of it all. And so I would wait for tray after tray. Well, sometimes maybe I would lose track of how many times the tray's gone by. But I remember one time I was embarrassed to death because they asked me to leave the restaurant. I said, I thought it was all you could eat. I didn't know, have I eaten my limit? They said, no, sir, it's not that. It's that it's 8:30 in the evening, and our restaurant closed at 30 minutes ago. Yeah. I'm kidding, of course. Well, I'm sure we've all had favorite restaurants that have left. We've probably had favorite retail stores that have left. A favorite car that you had has left your possession. That home you grew up in, it's gone. It's left you. There's all kinds of things. Our good health sometimes leaves us. There's all kinds of things that can leave us, and it can make us sad and such. But you know, the most important thing that leaves us is not a thing. It's people. And so when people leave us, that's where it hurts. And when three people leave by death in a short period of time, obviously that really hurts. Well, just for example, husbands can leave wives. Wives can leave husbands. Parents divorce and leave children. Children run away sometimes and leave parents. Relatives die and leave family members. People find all kinds of ways of leaving. But here's the key to the whole message this morning, and you're going to hear it over and over. If you leave this morning, you think, what was the message about? We're going to need to get you to the ear doctor. Because here's the point. While lots of people can leave in lots of ways, God is not. In fact, let me say it this way. God ain't the leaving kind. God does not leave us. Not God the Father, not God the Son, not God the Holy Spirit. And if you're going to try to correct my grammar this morning, don't do it, teachers, because the song, the country song I'm going to use this morning, has the word "ant" in it. So I'm going to continue to use that this morning. I've got another Rascal Flatts song today. And the song title that I'm taking the message from is "He Ain't the Leavin' Kind." He ain't the leaving kind. So we're going to make a gospel message out of this song. And here are the lyrics. They tried their best to drag him out of the courthouse down in Montgomery. And now they want to kick him out of school and take him off our money. They can take those words off paper and stone. But he ain't gone. He ain't the leaving kind. He'd never walk away, even from those who don't believe and want to leave him behind. He ain't the leaving kind. She stayed mad at him for years for taking her husband. Started losing her faith and thinking that her life meant nothing. But when she looks at those kids that she raised all by herself, she knows she had some help. Yeah, she knows he ain't the leaving kind. He'd never walk away even from those who don't believe and want to leave him behind. He ain't the leaving kind. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, he's always right there with you. Even from those you don't believe, who don't believe and want to leave him behind, he ain't the leaving kind. The Baltimore Sun newspaper, July 11th, 2016. The title of the article in the paper was "Atheist Sues to Remove Ten Commandments Monument from Allegheny County Courthouse Grounds." I'm going to read this, just a portion of this article, but and this is not in Indiana, but we could read articles from every state, maybe many counties around the country. This is just one example. 2016. From the moment that Dr. Jeffrey Davis first saw the Allegheny County Courthouse complex nearly 30 years ago, the monument to the Ten Commandments on the lawn has always bothered him. Davis, an emergency physician in neighboring Garrett County, had always been taught that the U.S. Constitution is a secular document. In his view, the 1,600-pound polished granite slab sends an inappropriate religious message. He said, "It offended me then, and it offends me now." The self-described secular humanist says in a tranquil voice, "Bottom line, the Ten Commandments monument was removed." There's probably article after article, state after state, county after county, where this very situation, one person is offended, and the Ten Commandments are gone. The Rascal Flatts song lyric says, "They tried their best to drag him out of the courthouse." Well, they can take those words off the wall. They can take the monument off the lawn. But guess what? He ain't gone. God ain't the leaving kind. Well, here's what the song continues with lyrics. It says, "And now they want to kick him out of school and take him off of our money." There's two landmark decisions I want to refer to. This goes back to when I was even in first and second grade. Engle versus Vital, June 25th, 1962. And then Abington School District versus Shemp, June 17th, 1963. Imagine where you were in those years. First and second grade for me. Kennard Elementary School, to be specific. We would say the Pledge of Allegiance in the morning. We would have a morning prayer. And then occasionally, throughout the week, we would open our Bibles and use that book for certain lessons to be taught in school. Well, those two decisions is where the Supreme Court declared school-sponsored prayer and Bible readings unconstitutional. So if we want to remember back, when did all this happen? Those were the 2 years. Those were the two landmark decisions. So back to the message. They can kick God's word and prayer out of school, but guess what? He ain't the leaving kind. God ain't the leaving kind. The New York Post, June 11th, 2019, so we're talking just a little over a year ago. The title of the article says, "Supreme Court rejects case to remove In God We Trust from the currency, from the U.S. currency." The Supreme Court rejected an atheist case Monday to remove In God We Trust, the national motto, from all coins and currency from the Department of Treasury. Michael Newdow, the same activist attorney who tried to remove Under God from the Pledge of Allegiance, lost his case arguing Congress's mandate to inscribe In God We Trust on currency was a government-endorsed endorsement of religion, and a violation of the First Amendment. Newdow argued in his petition to the Supreme Court that because his clients are all atheist individuals or atheist groups, the government violated their sincere religious belief that there is no God and turned them into political outsiders by placing the phrase, "In God we trust," on their money. The justices rejected the petition without comment. Praise the Lord. The atheists lost that battle, but we know that they will continue the war on any mention of God, on anything, anywhere. It was just a few weeks ago that we had our political conventions. The Democrats had a convention, the Republicans had a convention. And I will keep this as apolitical as possible. You can do your own research. One of the political parties, though, I had heard that they had eliminated the words "under God" from the Pledge of Allegiance. And as I dug a little bit deeper, while it didn't happen in the evening broadcasts of the convention, it actually did happen that in the 30 caucuses of the one political party, two of those caucuses actually did eliminate the phrase "under God" in the Pledge of Allegiance. So just two of 30, and one political party, it wasn't eliminated at all. But that's where it starts, doesn't it? It's just a little at a time. It's one person says, "This offends me," and now this is gone, that's gone, that's gone. Now, the fact that a little over a year ago from this Supreme Court case where "In God We Trust" was rejected to be removed from the currency, do you think atheists are done petitioning the court, filing lawsuits? I'm saying they're not. But God's still there. And if they did take it off the currency, if they did take "under God" out of the Pledge of Allegiance, they have not removed God one bit. That's the message this morning. He ain't the leaving kind, is what the song says, and what the Bible tells us is God ain't leaving. He's not the leaving kind. Well, again, back to the lyrics of the song. They can take those words off paper and stone, but he ain't gone. He ain't the leaving kind. City after city, town after town, has removed the Ten Commandments monuments because one person was offended. They can take those words off stone, but he ain't gone. God ain't gone. The Ten Commandments aren't gone. He's not the leaving kind. Society can remove monuments from courthouses, Bibles and prayer from schools, God's name from our money, and even the reference to God in the Pledge of Allegiance. But they cannot remove God. He ain't gone, and he ain't the leaving kind. The message from that song is the message in the Bible. And I've got three verses of scripture that I'm going to share back to back that gives us this information that God's not the leaving kind. We could share dozens and dozens and dozens of verses all throughout the Bible that tell us this. So this is just three representative verses. The first one I'm going to read is from Genesis 28:15. And just as a little background, you might remember a time when in Genesis where it talks about Jacob having a dream, and the dream was of these angels going up and down a staircase from earth to heaven and heaven to earth. During that dream, Jacob got the promise of the land that God said he would give to his grandpa, who was Abraham, and to his dad, who was Isaac. So Abraham, Isaac, and now Jacob have all gotten this promise of a land that was to come to that group of people. And it hadn't happened yet, but Jacob was receiving this promise. Here's what the verse says. "Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, this promised land. for I will not leave until I have done what I promised you. That was a promise specifically to the children of Israel of a particular piece of land. But do you know that there are promises throughout the Bible? And if God has given you a promise, if he said, hey, that promise is for you, what you just read, what I just brought to your memory of a promise, that's yours. I'm not leaving you until you get that promise. In fact, we know he's not leaving us even after he gives us the promise. He's not leaving at all. Well, the second verse that I want to reference is also in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy. It's going to be verse 6 that I'll read, but verses 1 through 5 talk about the fact that Moses was 120 years old. And we know all about Moses and what he had done in his life. He was leading the children of Israel. But at 120, he knew that his life was coming to end. God said, this is it. Pack up your bags, you're coming to heaven. And he knew that he needed to transfer leadership from himself to the next person. And that next person was going to be Joshua. And Joshua would actually be the one that would lead the children of Israel into the promised land. But guess what, folks? Even now, the promised land was filled with people that weren't supposed to be there. They were claiming it as their land. What God had promised was an obstacle now. How can we go into the land if it's already occupied? They're in my house. They're using my barn. They're using our pasture. They're using our water that you promised us. And what did God say? Basically, we're going to get to that in a second, but he says, I'm going to let you have that land, but I'm going to go ahead of you and I'll take care of the problem. I'll remove the obstacle that's there for the promise I said I would give. So what of us, who of us have seen a promise or felt a promise from God, read a promise in his word, and said, Lord, I don't see how this is going to happen because there's an obstacle in the way. There's no way that that can happen. Not logically. Can't you see the obstacle there? And what God is saying to us is, go ahead. I'll go right in front of you and I'll take care of that obstacle. I'll remove it. You'll be fine. So keep your eyes on God, not on the obstacle that's ahead. Here's what the verse says. Be strong and courageous. Well, obviously they must have felt weak and afraid. That's maybe how we feel sometimes. Because he even goes on to the next sentence. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. Who's the them? The people that are occupying the land that God said, I'm going to give you. The obstacle. For the Lord your God goes with you. Remember that, folks. When God says, go there, here's a promise, I'm giving it to you. It doesn't make sense. He's there with you. In fact, he goes ahead of you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do we need to define the word never for this group this morning? Probably not, do we? We all know what never means. You see, there's other things in our life that I mentioned before. A Captain D's restaurant, a favorite car, a house we grew up in, good health, maybe even finances have left us. And there's all kinds of people that have left us in different ways. But God says, I will never leave you. Well, the last verse is this, and it's again giving us the same message from Hebrews 13:5. Says, keep your lives free from the love of money. And the reason that verse even starts out that way is sometimes we think, well, I don't need God, or if I don't have God, I can use money to help me with the things I need. But God says, keep your lives free from the love of money, not money, but the love of it, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you or forsake you. So if you need a promise this morning, that's it. If you're feeling lonely this morning in any way, shape, or form, lonely because of people that's left, lonely because of things that have left, just remember you're not alone. God will never leave. If we could go ahead and have the music start, I'm going to close this up in just the next minute or two. There's another verse in the song, "He Ain't the Leaving Kind" by Rascal Flatts, that I wanted to reference. And here's the verse. It says, "She stayed mad at him for a lot of years for taking her husband. Started losing her faith and thinking that her life meant nothing. But when she looks at those kids that she raised all by herself, she knows she had some help. Yeah, she knows that he ain't the leaving kind." Well, she was mad at God. Have you been mad at God for taking something or someone from your life? I see heads nodding, but I bet inside we might all be nodding. Yes. Are you still mad? Some of us have gotten over it through grief. Anytime we lose something, we go through periods of grief. And then we might realize, like the lady, that we had help, even though something was taken away. Because again, in the song, it says, and there's somebody that needs help right now. That was a first aid unit that just went by praying that they are okay. Again, in the song, she says, when she looks at those kids that she raised all by herself, she knows she had some help. So just because she didn't feel God's presence during that time doesn't mean that God wasn't with her. In fact, just the opposite. He never left her. He was there all the time. There's a famous picture, and I bet we've all seen it some way, somehow, or another, called Footprints in the Sand. Does that ring a bell? Footprints in the Sand. That's a perfect picture of what today's message is. We know that it's a shoreline of sand, a beach, and you see two sets of footprints, and all of a sudden you just see one. And according to the one person, they're thinking, God must have left me because it looks like I was all alone for a period of time. And yet what we know, what the picture does really say, is when you just saw one set of footprints, that was the time when I was carrying you. You thought I had gone, and I had never left. So no matter what's happening in your life now, remember that he's always with you. And now this promise, well, the fact that God will never leave us, he will never leave us in this world. He's here. So there's a general presence of God for everyone. But there's a specific presence of God when we ask him into our heart, when we ask Jesus to be our Savior. Because when that happens, we then become a child of God. And God will never leave his children. You individually, me individually, he will never leave nor forsake his children. So now's a good time to accept Jesus as your Savior. Become a child and have this promise too. So as we sing this closing song, I'm going to have Roy and Deb lead us in the music and the singing of it. Ron will have the words up on the screen. If you've never given your life to Christ, today would be a good day to do that. If you feel alone, like you've never felt alone before, there's one person you can ask into your life who will never leave you. Let's sing. Is he your Lord? Personal?
Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord.
words have touched someone, and in some way, somehow. And just help us to receive these words. If there's one that has not received Christ as Savior, I pray that even in your seat, you would confess your sins, admit what things have happened in the past, and just ask for forgiveness. He will readily give you that forgiveness, and then begin to walk in the light of Christ. And He will help you with that walk. He will put the Holy Spirit in you to be your helper, your guide, your comforter, your strength. Even now, ask Christ to come into your life. And if you've already received Christ, thank Him again for that right now. Remind yourself again that He does not leave. Not ever. Lord, I just ask you to go with each one that's here. May I be with those who couldn't be here this morning. Be a blessing. And go and be blessed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.